those that know me naturally know I have a problem with. No, I'm sorry, the word have had a problem with. He said, okay, so you've sung the song. You've heard the chorus played numerous times. What are you actually doing? What I called you to do. It speaks about his glory. So what I'm directing you to do is ask you to find a partner. Two by two. Please. Get where you can go with someone that you can have eye contact. We are to be looking for, even this week, the glory of our Lord. Where is the glory of our Lord? The glory of our Lord is wherever He is. Where is He? He's inside of us. So this may be uncomfortable for some of you, but I think it won't be. I want you to look into the other person's eyes. Have one person say it first, and the second person. I want you to take the position that you have as kings and priests and speak to the other person that I release the glory of God into you. Okay? So look at each other, eye contact, and speak. I release the glory of God into you.
I release the glory of God into you.
His glory is in us. Glory transfigures, transforms us. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus, as someone said, at the only prayer meeting that he invited his apostles to, he's shown. As the glory takes hold of us, we will shine with his glory.
Amen.
It is not our glory. It has nothing to do with us except for our willingness to be obedient and receive that.
Amen.
You know, what does the light bulb have to do by itself? Nothing. Although it's powered. The Holy Spirit wants to have us be His light bulbs. People will come to you when you start to receive this. People will come to you and say, what is it about you? And you'll know that His glory is shining through you. So the first thing we released is that was as priests. Now we are going to act as kings. For that is who we are. When he says he's the king of kings, we're the kings he's talking about.
Amen.
Not only political things, but we're a nation of priests and kings. So look into your partner's eyes again. And one person speak at a time, and this time I command the glory of God to come through you. Go ahead.
I command
the glory of God to come through you.
The glory of God to come through you.
His name is glorious. Now, regarding honor, how do we honor the name of our Lord? I was sitting here, and I heard him say to me, in every opportunity I put you, you know who you are. So in every opportunity I put you where you should use my name and don't, that's dishonoring my name.
Jesus, come on.
And Lord, I receive that and I repent. Mm-hmm. So I ask each of us to search your own hearts. It might come to mind immediately, the past week, past day, past month, whatever. A time that, you know, this requires the name of Jesus.
Mm.
So by the name of Jesus, I break that thing in your life. In the name of Jesus, I release that which has already been released in heaven into the situation. Provision, healing,
amen.
Glorification,
amen.
Obedience. In the name of Jesus, I bind that thing that has been bound in heaven. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The name of Jesus will bring peace and simultaneously conflict. And if you have that conflict, you know now, it's clear, clearly presented to you of what's happening. There's opposing forces. And that's where you stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, again, using his name. His name is not only for worship. Yes, it's for worship, but not only for worship. It's also for warfare. And what is warfare? We are to take back his creation. God so loved the world, not just his created Adamic race, not just Adam and descendants, but he so loved the world, his created order. So we're given much power in the name of Jesus. The third part. The name of Jesus, glory and honor. Honor is more than respect. You can respect something that you don't really know because of position. But to honor something, you have to purposely place yourself and purposely enter into a relationship with that thing. Because it's not fear. For his kingdom has nothing to do with fear. Fear is all about the enemy's kingdom, the world, worldly systems. So now we look at power. Have we released the power of the name of Jesus into people's lives? Do we understand that we are conduits for his power? So I hear I'm going too fast. I gotta go back. So look into your partner's eyes. And now we're gonna talk about honor. And I would ask you to say to your partner, in the name of Jesus, I call you to honor his name. In the name of Jesus, I call you to honor his name.
I call you, Jesus.
Ha kora, ha koshun to the key. To ropa abahoko to tola kashun to the heart. The power is to be seen in this body and in every single one of us. If the Holy Spirit resides in you, his power is in you, the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead is in you. So look at your partner and say, in the name of Jesus, I release his power through you and to all those that he calls you to affect. In the name of Jesus, I call you to release his power through you and to all those he calls you to affect. Lastly, do we praise his name? Do we praise him? We come to church. There are words expressed, but is our life a life of praise? Do we thank him? Are we appreciative? Or are we like those that he healed of leprosy and only one came back to say thank you? I'm finding my own life, the words thank you are coming more readily and more plentifully. Even as I understand more and more that he loves us. So look at your partner eye to eye. In the name of Jesus, I call you As a child of God,
as a child of God,
to live the life of praise.
To live the life of praise.
In the name of Jesus, I call each of you to live the life of praise. All honor, all glory, all power, all majesty, all everything is in our God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I'm learning today that the inner man of me,
the real me, the spirit man,
is fully alive,
fully capable
of honoring my Father, in all that I do, and in all that I am. Thank you, Jesus.
I have ears.
I have eyes.
And I see and hear.
What my spirit
is capable today.
To become. And to manifest.
Heaven in earth.
Today. With a heart of perception. Of who is in me. Fully alive. And fully capable. For the glory.
Is His.
I get the benefits.
Hallelujah.
Take a couple of deep breaths. Couple more. Just let it in and out. One more time. Deep down inside, let the breath of God, go deeper. And let it go. I want to read to you what the Holy Spirit gave me August 4th on Friday at 4:05 a.m. And I have the bread and wine in front of me. At that particular time, I was totally alone with Him. And I wrote, because of the pressure, I said, Lord, I have the bread and wine. And I also rejoice in the real me, the spirit man, inside of this temple. I see Jesus in me, the hope of glory. He is living his life through me, like the Father who lived his life, his plan through Jesus. And all the glory went to the God every time. Jesus was a temple for the Father and the Holy Spirit, and so am I. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who has made us for his very own purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. What is to come is habitation, transfiguration, and a multiplication of his power, his love, and his grace to everyone we see and meet. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for me, so that I in him might become the righteousness of God. The Holy Ghost likes to tattle. He's advertising that he can run this meeting without me or you. Amen. He can have a party without me or you. But we're invited to this party. We're invited to celebrate his awesomeness and his coordinates through each and every vessel. There's not one higher and not one lower. For the Lord himself decided to release his Spirit into the earth, this earth. Lift your right hand to him. Say, God decided.
God decided.
I didn't.
He decided.
To release his spirit. The spirit of his only begotten son. As a deposit inside of me.
And he's starting to use me more than ever before.
It's exciting.
To know that Jesus is alive.
Inside of my spirit.
And I am fully alive in him. And he's fully alive in me.
And he's not done with the house of prayer. Because my temple, which I gave over to him, to be occupied by him, to be controlled by him, for a change.
Yeah,
you can reflect on that one a little bit. Because I'm sure you see yourself just like I see myself. And I see him take over in circumstances and in situations. And my God, he surprises me every single time. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he lets me know to shut up. Did you ever realize how much he loves you?
No, I don't.
We locked you out.
You locked me up.
But we're locking you in. There's an elevator, yes.
The pastor doesn't know about it, the ones right across here.
They didn't have a key for them, so they've had to talk to Nicole.
They'll have to get a key, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're not allowed to do that.
No, but can I go tell?
But we're in the middle of the message.
Sorry.
And I would like to keep that message.
Yes.
Not to focus on other things, because what happens is you lose the chain, you end up stifled. Be conscious of those things. Be conscious of how much the darkness wants to stifle the spirit within you. He wants to stop you from performing the plan of God in each and every one of you. He's not interested in, you know, this or that. He's interested in you and I being obedient vessels. And sometimes you're going to fail and you fall short. You know, I've learned over the years, multiples of times, how important all these things are. And the Holy Spirit, I call him sneaky because he shows up when I least expect it. And he manifests in ways through me that I didn't expect. And what at one time would have made me very angry, the anger's not there. It tries. It kind of flashes, you know. Anybody notice? Mm-hmm. It flashes in front of you and you just say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to answer this. I'm not going to be insulting someone when they have no clue what they're saying. So what I'm saying to you is watch the Holy Spirit bring forth words of life instead of death. Watch the Holy Spirit bring forth healing instead of injuries. Watch the Holy Spirit regather what he wants to do through a living church. A living corporate church. He's not interested in you as an individual, even though it's important, but the corporate church is much more important to him than you realize. And you know, I don't want to put blame, I don't want to put condemnation, but I do know this, it's important that you and I be obedient to what he calls us to do and where he calls us to be. If you're to be at the hospital, go to the hospital. If you're supposed to go to the doctor's office, go to the doctor's office. Good heavens, just obey. Obey. Go to where he sends you and do it with grace and favor in your heart before you go there. Don't go there frustrated.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? If you're coming to church frustrated, what are you going to give out?
Frustration.
And how is that going to function as a body of believers? That's not Christ in you. That's you and you in control. Okay? And the product and the end result of that service is going to be a multiple facet of a swinging back and forth. Holy Ghost, selfishness. Holy Ghost, selfishness. And I've seen this over and over. You know? There's a time and place for each thing that God calls us to do. And when he calls us and you see the harmony and you see the anointing that's capable of being done, such as what you've just tasted this morning, instead of your own agenda, you know, it's a lot more comfortable to watch what he's capable of doing than what you and I could ever produce. There's churches all over this city that can produce anything they want because they've already got the schedule and they know exactly when to start and when to finish. Yep. Is that what you think God wants?
No.
In the book of Acts, there were 500 believers. They were all in one place and it whittled down to 120. Why? Because some had a different agenda. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they had to whittle down? Why do you think God's Holy Spirit drew some out? Sure. He had a purpose. Their intention was selfish motivations of whatever type. It's not important. What's important is the principle. Those 120 got the Holy Ghost because they were what?
Obedient.
Obedient, and their character was stay on focus. Mm. Their character said, hold, don't you dare leave. Everything else had to be put aside. I'm sure they had dinner to make. I'm sure they had kids to feed. I'm sure they had grandchildren to take care of. They, whatever responsibilities, they left the organization to others and they stayed focused. And the Holy Ghost came in power. When is he coming in power here? When our intentions are not on everything else but him. When his intention is totally our focus, he will be able to pour in power in this house. But until then, you're going to have a shift and a swing back and forth from self to him and him to self. It depends on you. You are the one that makes the decision, not me. I wasn't going to share that this morning. I didn't want to share that because I felt that was personal. He was just kind of putting another drill in me to make me see who I really am and to stop looking in the mirror about the failure that I used to be and the failure that I still am in times. He was trying to get me to see that if I look in the mirror deep enough, I'll see Jesus in every action and in every reaction. Not part-time, not when I feel like it, but all the time. Whenever he's ready, I should be able to move. I should be able to react. And I know I'm preaching, but hear me when I'm saying it to you. Stop putting your agenda together on your own. Stop putting the things that are important to you on your own. Go to him. Ask him, what do you want and when do you want it? And when he gives you that appointment, keep it. Wherever he wants you, however he wants you, to do whatever he's asked you to do. And stop feeling sorry for people. You know, pity can keep you off the focus. Did you ever see yourself driving along? You come off the highway and you see a person with a big sign and everybody feels sorry for them. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give to them, but if the Holy Ghost don't say, don't give. Some people are taken care of by the ones that they choose. Some people are suckering people like you and me with their emotions and you fall for it. You can do the same thing on TV, on radio, in the news, in the emails. I get so much of that. I don't even open the envelope. Lord, what do you want? Basket. No, that one, hold on. Why does he tell me hold on before I open it? Because I don't want to be seduced again. Have I ever been seduced? I don't even want to count how many times. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Jesus is alive in you. Check with him before you make a decision. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time. Am I making sense?
Yes.
All right. So, can we just lift our hands to him? Say, I know you're inside me, Lord.
I know you're inside me, Lord.
You better learn to speak louder than ever before.
You better learn to speak louder than ever before.
Because I'm hard of hearing sometimes. I want to do what I want to do. Because sometimes I feel sorry. And those feelings are coming from soul. They're not coming from you.
There were people in your day
that waited for healing. And you walked right by. There was an example of that. When Peter and John are heading towards the temple. And there's a crippled man right there. Jesus probably walked by him for 3.5 years.
And didn't heal him.
It wasn't the ordained time. But he didn't feel sorry. I'm positive he knew. He was going to use Paul.
He would use John.
He would use Peter.
He would use me.
When he's ready.
And I need to obey.
Wherever I am.
Whatever I'm doing.
Let his plan unfold.
And
for a change, he'll get the glory.
And for a change, he'll get the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.